morning. Just want to welcome everyone here to Bonesville Mennonite Church. Welcome to anyone who's watching on the live stream. Just invite you to join with us this morning as we worship the Lord. And invite you to stand as well.
Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each person gathered here today. Thank you for the tithes and offerings that were given for our leadership training fund and for men's and women's ministries, Lord. Just bless them and the people that are taking part in training so that we can spread the word of your good news throughout this community and throughout the world, Lord, that you have come to save us, Lord, from our sins, and that we can live with you and be called your sons and daughters, Lord. Thank you so much for the gift that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. My God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go. But until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I? Shall I?
My name is Clark Brubacher, and I'm the president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. Since the last time I spoke to you, the youth group has been busy doing various activities. As usual, we had our two Bible studies every month, where we looked at the where we looked at Acts and the journeys of Paul. In April, we went to Cherry Springs in Potter County to go stargazing. However, it was slightly cloudy, and that hindered us from being able to see all the stars, but at least we were able to see some. We still had a great time. We also had a potato bar fundraiser to help fund various youth group activities, such as the summer service project. Then in May, we went canoeing on the west branch of the Susquehanna River, as well as having our Bible studies. Then in June, we had an end of school party where we went swimming and played volleyball and celebrated the end of school. The youth group also helped out with the Bible school on top of having our Bible studies that month. And so far in June, we've gone on our summer service project to Crisfield, Maryland, where we did new home building and other things of that sort. We've also had our Bible studies where we finished our study of the book of Acts and have begun our study of the book of Romans. Last time I spoke to you, I asked you to pray for our summer service project to Maryland, and your prayers were definitely felt as the trip went well with no major hiccups. Today, I ask you to pray for our upcoming elections for new committee members and that God would call the right people into the right places. Thank you for your continued support of the youth group.
Thanks, Clark. And thanks to the worship team. I don't want to put Emma on the spot, but thanks for doing the drums, Emma. I really appreciate when we do the drums like that. I think it adds something to our singing that I can't quite put my finger on it, but thanks for doing that. So it's Youth Sunday here at Bowmansville, and if you're a visitor, we have these things like about every 3 months or something like that. And usually when it's Youth Sunday, I dress in a shirt with some buttons on it and nice pants. But since we're going to be talking about our work trip with MDS, I thought it's appropriate to wear my MDS shirt. Shane also thought it's appropriate to wear his MDS shirt and some jeans or work clothes. So anyway, a lot of you have asked me how that trip went. And this morning you're going to get the better answer than me just saying, oh yeah, it went good. So so there's three things that we want to talk about this morning for Youth Sunday. Number one, the youth are going to share, and that's going to happen first here in a little bit. The youth are going to share about the summer service project. Also, I'm going to share a little bit about the life of Paul, which is great. The Sunday school lesson we had was great. I said to Rick and Daryl, I said, wow, what you guys read really lines up with the message. The message from Sunday school really lines up with the message from with church. So that's great. So God's here this morning. Praise God for that. And then last, we're going to have a children's message like we always do. So there's three things that we want to hit on this morning. And if it goes a little long, that's fine. If you have to leave, that's fine. If you do have to leave, I won't be offended, but I want you to come back next Sunday and every Sunday after that. So the youth that are prepared to share, you can come front. We'll use this microphone. So why don't you come front if you're a youth or an adult that's going to share about the summer service project. Come front now, and you can either stand over here or sit in the front, and when it's your turn to share, you can go. So while they're coming front, I just want to thank everyone who prayed for us. Several of you prayed individually for individual youth, and we really felt those prayers. We had one situation where one of the youth fell and banged up his toe, and he's back to normal. He's no worse for the wear. And another situation where we were digging holes to put posts in for a wheelchair ramp, a big wheelchair ramp. And we were digging holes in the ground about yay deep, and they were about this big around. And the posts that were going in these holes are 10-foot treated 4x4 posts. So there was a crew of people going ahead digging the holes, and somebody was sticking the posts in the holes. Now a 10-foot post stands upright in a hole that's only this deep because it ain't real big. See what I'm saying? It leans against the side of the hole. Well, one of the posts, I don't know exactly what happened, but I think it must have had a knot or a weak spot in the post, because for some reason where it was leaning against the edge of the hole, the 4x4 post broke, and it fell, and it hit somebody, and those posts are heavy. Those treated 4x4 posts are heavy, and it fell from 10 feet up and hit somebody, and he was not hurt bad. Didn't hurt me any. And anyway, it didn't seem like he was hurt real bad, and he was evaluated by a bunch of amateurs and told to go back to work. So I think he's okay. So thanks for your prayers. We really felt your prayers last week. So in no particular order, maybe you want to start here and just kind of work your way down the line. You can use this microphone and go ahead and share. Oh, let me just say this. Sorry, Shane, now that you're up here, you can just stay here. Before we left, I asked the youth to share, when we come back, we want to share about something that they discovered that maybe is a difference from what they had to the people that they're going to meet down there, because that kind of fits in with our message a little bit this morning. But it turns out we didn't really meet the people that we were working for, because usually on an MDS trip or a service trip like this, you're working in somebody's home because something in their home is busted or flooded out or needs a roof or whatever, and the people are living there, and you're working in around them, and you get to meet them. And I was kind of thinking that might happen, but that didn't happen. We were building brand new homes, and when you build a brand new home, the people aren't living there yet. So we didn't really get to meet anybody. So maybe some of the youth are going to share about some people that they did meet and some of the differences that they noticed. And maybe some of them are just going to share about what they did or what stuck out to them. So that's what they're going to be sharing about.
Yeah, for myself, it was a fun experience to work on a new construction. So, and in my line of work, I do not very many new construction, but I get to work on all exterior stuff of the home, which is ironic because that's what we got to do on this trip. So it was good that I got to do something that I knew everything that I needed to know, and then I could help out people that were new or green to the situation of working on an exterior house. And so I enjoyed seeing how the youth and different leaders who stepped out of their comfort zone, that they were able to try new things, maybe using a screw gun for the first time, or hammering in a nail for the first time, or standing up on a row of scaffold and then taking it up to the next tier of scaffold, and then maybe going to the next tier of scaffold. So it was good to see people that were taking risks, taking, you know, safety risks, not anything like that, but just being able to see them as the week went on. You could see different days. They got to do something new each day, and they were able to keep getting more experience and more confidence in whatever that they wanted to do. So it was a joy for that.
All right. So I would say maybe one of the highlights that I would have had when we were there is after we were done working, we were able to go down to the bay because our camp was like right next to the bay. We were able to go and swim in the bay. Now, there was a bit of an issue with the bay, which was that there were rocks in the bay that were pretty sharp. And if you would put your foot down in the right spot, then it would hurt. But you tell me, if you're in 90 degree weather and you're moving scaffolding, if you would take a risk and go jump in that bay after work and have a risk of hitting a rock, I would take that risk.
Something I noticed was that our group all came from the same place, but the staff that was working at MDS were from Illinois, Kansas, and Virginia, and just they're from all different places.
As I was thinking about something that stuck out to me from the week, I was thinking about all the different feelings that we feel when we go on a trip like this. We're doing something outside of our comfort zone, a lot of manual labor usually, and we might have felt, well, we did feel hot and tired, exhausted, weak, inadequate at times, and we felt a lot of good feelings too. But thinking about those more negative feelings, it's just a reminder that despite our feelings, that's not where our identity lies. Our identity is based on who we are as children of God, created in His image for a purpose, and we're more than conquerors, and we're sons and daughters. And so that's why we do trips like this, to disciple youth and to share the hope that we have in Christ, that even when we feel all those feelings, we're able to push forward and continue for the mission that He called us for, to make disciples and to share that hope that we have, and just remember that the one who died on the cross and felt all the feelings that we feel is the one who has the ownership of our feelings, the one who created them, and when we surrender them to Him and use them for His glory, then we'll see lives changed and hope restored to people that have lost all of their hope or maybe have never seen hope. So that's why we do this. That's why we go on service projects every year and do our best to build or fix homes, even when we don't know what we're doing. So I commend all the youth and the leaders for, even though we all felt a lot of those feelings, we pushed forward and kept our goal in mind. And yeah, it's a blessing to be a part of this group and the church.
Well, like Shane, I enjoyed getting to do work that I do at work and that I know how to do. But something I was struck with was just the difference in personalities. Like when you're out on a job, you know, you have some people that are more like, let's just see how much work we can get done, how fast we can get it done. And some people are more like, well, let's just see how much fun we can have and how enjoyable we can make this. And it's great when you have everybody coming together, bringing their strengths. And, you know, if we were all the same, it would be boring. So just everybody getting to do what they're good at and help make it a great time. And yeah, just had a great time in the evenings too. Felt like I got to know the youth a lot better, just spending a week together.
One difference that I noticed in just our group is how much experience we had in construction before the week started. So there's some people who like do construction for a living and others of us who have never really ever done it before, or just like have minimal experience. But on the other hand, that we all had the similarity that we all wanted to get the work done, and it seemed like we wanted to do our best and learn what we needed to learn. And so by the end of the week, all of us had more experience than we had when we started.
So one of the differences that I found, other than I am so proud of our youth, they work hard every time, and it was hot, and they didn't complain. I love them dearly. I also love the fact that we're not all the same, because I don't like heights, and we were on scaffolding. So I was very blessed that people are not like me. Usually they looked out for me, and when someone was like, hey, Renee, can you get me that? And they're standing way up there, and I'm like, sure. Someone would say, hey, I'll take that for you. So I was blessed by that.
Well, like Brian said, we didn't interact with a whole lot of people outside of our group and the MDS people, but the one night we did walk about a half mile down the road to a local crabber. Crabbing used to be a huge industry down there, but it's sort of faded a little bit, they were saying. And his name was Jordan, and he showed us his rig, he showed us his boat, his net, and explained how he does what he does. And you could tell he was really passionate about it, really excited about it. But yet he also made it sound like he didn't have much of a choice. He's sixth generation crabber. And he made it sound like he sort of that was ordained for him to do from the time he was born, but he didn't view that as a negative. He viewed it as a positive, and I was thinking about the differences between us. You know, we like to have as many options as possible in as many different areas of life as possible, and we view it as a negative if we don't have as many options. But that's not how he viewed his work.
And to go along kind of like with what Colin said with the different personalities, we each had different personalities, but they all kind of meshed very well together. The serious people and the people who like to have fun made the workday great. You still got stuff done, but you had fun, and then the evenings were also fun. Another thing, too, with being with people for a whole week, you learn personalities that you wouldn't get to experience on an evening, a two-hour youth group evening, so that's always fun.
Well, I'm surprised nobody else said this, but my highlight was the food. Listen, I have never eaten so good on a summer service project that I did, Shane will agree with me, than I did this past one. Man, I don't know, maybe it was because one of the cooks' name was Anita? Maybe, shout out to my mother. But we definitely ate really good, so.
Well, thanks for sharing, everybody. So some of you shared a little bit about some of the differences that you saw in people, and that's kind of what makes this world unique, and that's what makes our interacting with different people unique. So one of the things that I've noticed working with youth for the past several years is that the ones that have something that they can do that they can do really good, maybe better than anyone else in the room, or at least they feel like they can do it better than anyone else in the room. Those ones that have that identity of being able to do something like that have confidence. And then that confidence kind of allows them to be part of a bigger group maybe, or allows them to allow God to stretch them and make them grow emotionally and spiritually and things that need to happen. So you can see how it's kind of a benefit to have that unique identity of having something that you do well. So I have a great aunt, or I had a great aunt with a unique identity. She has some ties here to Bowmansville, maybe not Bowmansville, but the former Bowmansville-Redding district. Aunt Benzana. So she was my great aunt. She was my mom's aunt. So apparently, my mom had she had a lot of uncles, and she had more than one aunt whose name was Anna. And so they identified this one particular aunt Anna by the name of her husband. Her husband's name was Ben. So little Nancy Zeisset thought that she had an Aunt Benzana because that was the unique way that she was identified because of I don't know if they called her that in her family or if that's just what Mom heard when she heard people talking about her Aunt Anna. So one day Mom goes up to her Aunt Anna at a family get-together and she said, "Hello, Benzana." And it turns out her name was just Anna, not Benzana. So I don't know if any of you know who I'm talking about, but I think they have some connections here with the Bowmansville-Redding district. So anyway, so I don't know if Aunt Anna minded or liked being called Benzana, but you can kind of see that we don't always get to choose what our own identities are, what our unique identity to our own person is. We don't always get to choose that. And Anna didn't get to choose that. So you can see that it's good in terms of being confident in having something that you're good at and letting it build confidence. It's good to have a unique identity in that way. But the really good thing is that our true identity is that we're all people whose very existence is worth the life of the King. You're going to hear me repeat that a couple times this morning. That's our true identity. We have these unique identities. We're good at this. We're good at that. We can identify differences in each other. Maybe your name's kind of weird. Whatever. But, like Benzana. But our real identity is that we're people whose very existence is worth the life of the King. When we place a higher identity on what we want to be identified as personally, Paul says, and it's fitting that we talked about Paul this morning in Sunday school, Paul says our minds become dark and confused. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 1 to explain this. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, several sections of that. I'm going to start in verse 8. So a little bit of background before I read this. I think that Paul identified himself as an intellectual, cultured type of person. When you read Paul's writings, it's obvious to me that he was an intellectual person. He was a Roman citizen. Before he was a Christian, he was a Pharisee, and his teacher was, I think I'm saying this right, Gamaliel, who, if you were a student of Gamaliel, that gave you some clout. He was kind of a special teacher. So Paul was a Roman citizen who identified as an intellectual. He was a student of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. And another thing, for a while, he lived with a missionary couple named Priscilla and Aquila. And they were from, I'm not sure where they were from originally, but they spent some time in Rome, which they spent some time in Italy, where Rome is part of Italy. So, and Paul was living with them for a while. So I can kind of imagine they spent the day making tents, and around the supper table at the end of the day, Priscilla and Aquila are probably talking to Paul about how great it was in Italy and their experiences, and Paul was probably identifying with the people of Rome as intellectual, cultural equals to him. So keep that in mind as I read this. I think it comes out that Paul sees himself as that way, and it comes out in this reading. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 8, and through 13. So let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night, I bring you and your needs to God, to prayer, in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by spreading the good news about his Son. One of the things I pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last and see you. So he's saying, at long last, I want to go to Rome. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by your faith, by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see the spiritual fruit among other Gentiles. So Paul says, I long to be part of this community in Italy, in Rome, where there's people there that are my intellectual equals, because Paul identifies himself as a cultured, intellectual type of person. But Paul, being a Christian, recognizes that although he has this identity that he sees in himself, he recognizes that his true identity is that he is a Christian and that his life is worth the life of the King's. So he kind of writes in the next set of verses, he kind of puts a check in there I think he kind of puts this check in there for himself. He writes, For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized and the rest of the world, the educated and the uneducated alike. I'm eager to come to you in Rome and preach the good news. Now, listen to me here. I'm not cutting on the gift of an intellect. In fact, the other night in youth group, we were studying a little further on in Romans. And I said how I struggle, and I view this as kind of an intellectual thing. Someone that can read something and understand what they read, I kind of view that as an intellectual thing. I really struggle with that. I learn best when people talk to me. That's why, Daryl, that's why I'm a YouTube fan. I like to hear a lecture or a teacher rather than reading. So I really appreciate Tony and Larry and the Sunday school teachers and the people that helped me through Bible study. I really appreciate that gift of intellectualism, I guess you'd call it, that you guys have. And also, Paul, the writer of this, if he didn't have that gift and that unique ability to be an intellectual, he would not have penned the Word of God the way he did, and we wouldn't have the Bible the way he have it. So it's great. I'm not cutting on that particular gift. But I think it truly breaks God's heart when somebody has that unique identity and it's real and they choose to ignore it and they have the potential that Paul had to go and preach this to the world and they choose to ignore that identity. Instead, they listen to the lies of the evil one and they trust their own understanding and put aside the identity that Christ has assigned them. So when that happens, when we trust our own intellectual process and we lean on our own understanding instead of what God's word has for us, Paul writes, he continues to write, what happens to us? And this is where I said, dark and confused. Our minds become dark and confused when we lean on our own understanding. So I'm going to read, it starting in verse 18, I'm going to read for a while in Romans. Paul's identifying someone who he's describing someone who knows about God and decides to ignore him. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So these are people that should know God, he's describing. Yes, they know God, but they wouldn't worship him or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds become dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols that are made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things to each other's bodies. Now, these are the people that are intellectual people who know about God that choose to identify with their own personal unique identities. They trade the truth for a lie about God. So they worshiped and served things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against natural ways of having sex and instead indulged with sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserved. That's kind of an ugly picture of what can happen to somebody who puts their own identity and their own ideas ahead of what God has for us. And what does God have for us? Well, He assigned us our true identity, and that is someone whose very existence is worth the life of a king. So I asked myself, after studying this, Brian, what's your identity? And remember, we don't always get to choose what our identity is. Sometimes it's the way people see us. So I'm going to answer this question in the children's message. So if you're a child and you didn't already wear your legs out by going down to the bathroom three times and getting a drink a couple times because it's towards the end of the service, why don't you come up front and sit here beside Shane and Tyler? Maybe you guys want to move to another bench. You guys can sit over here, and we're going to have the children's message. So remember, our true identity is that we're people that are worth the life of a king. Wow, there is a pile of you guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I like to count them when they come front. I don't know if you guys do that. There's 15 of you here this morning, if I counted right. That's great. So I want to hear from you guys. What did you say? So I want to hear from you guys what you think your identity is. What do you think? What are you good at? Say one thing that you're good at. If you all tell me something that you're good at, that's great.
Basketball.
Basketball. You're good at basketball. Great. Running. I see you running around all over the place, and I can affirm that. You are good at running.
I'm good at making new friends.
Making new friends. I wish I was better at that. Good for you. That's a really good thing to be good at. Meeting what? Meeting your new teachers. Yeah, great.
I'm good at making, being nice.
Say that again. Being weird. You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say building forts. Because I was at your house several weeks ago helping your dad do some work, and you guys had an awesome fort there. I don't know what you do in it. You sleep in it? Sleep or eat lunch maybe? What do you do in a fort?
I can make forts good.
I know you can. I know. Oh, you got a fort for your birthday, and you built it today. Cool. What can you do? Play games? Yeah, you're good at playing games. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share what they can do good? Do you have something you're good at? I know what you're good at. You're good at puzzles, right? Oh, you're good at puzzles. What are you good at? Building stuff. Yeah. All right.
I'm good at putting out fires.
You're good at putting out fires. That we need people that are good at putting out fires. So, yeah. So, you guys all have these things that you're all good at, and that's great. It's good to have people that are good at things like you guys are. But sometime, what's going to happen is someone else is going to come along, and they're also going to be good at putting out fires or fort building or running or whatever. And maybe what you thought you're... What'd you say?
I'm good at lots of
Yeah, firefighters are good at that. Yeah. So someone else is going to come along, and maybe you're going to feel like what you were so good at isn't such a big deal anymore. And you're going to feel like, well, maybe I'm not that special. But remember what your true identity is. Not that you're a runner or a basketball player or good at meeting people. That's not really what your true identity is. What your true identity is that you're a person who's worth the life of the king. Does anyone know? I said that a couple times. What are you good at? You good at what?
Being nice.
Good. Okay, well, you guys are brother and sister, so maybe that niceness doesn't always rub off on your sister. But what does it mean when I say you're someone whose life is worth the life of the king? What do you think that means? Anybody know?
Who? I know.
He does. Who do you think I'm talking about when I say the king? Jesus. Yeah. Your life, that's really what your identity is. Your life is someone, is that of someone whose life is as valuable as the king of everything, Jesus. So remember that. So I want to tell you another story. It's just going to take a few minutes. When I was you guys' age, I used to sit in these same benches, and I'd look front at the people that were standing up there preaching. Some of you are here this morning, so please don't take offense to this. I've gotten to know you guys as I aged and you guys age, and I really appreciate you guys, and I've made friends with you guys, and I know this isn't true. But what I saw was a bunch of very sober men. This is because I was a little guy. I saw these very sober men standing up there preaching, and I know that they would get together maybe monthly, I'm not sure, and have ministers' meetings. And in my mind, I'm trying to think what this looked like back in the day when they got together and had their meetings. And what I picture is, I'm picturing it in black and white, because everything back then was in black and white. So I picture this black and white setting where there's a bunch of men sitting around. It hurts me to say this because I know you guys, and this isn't true. Sitting around, frowning at each other, preaching sermons to each other, or whatever they did. That's kind of what I thought happened at when these guys got together. But I know that's not what happened, and that's not what happens when we get together as pastors here at Bowmansville. I'm going to tell you guys what happens, okay? That way you don't have that same idea of what happens when we get together. So we usually get together about every month, and it's usually at Dwayne's house, and he usually has some snacks for us, or at least some drink, some coffee or something like that. We get together, and we greet each other, and we talk, or we laugh a lot, and then we go through a book study, and that kind of serves as our devotion. Sometimes there's some scripture, some books more than others, but whatever book we're going through, we take turns and lead the discussion about whatever chapter we read. And then we do a thing called check-in time, where we go around and say what's happening in our lives, and we can kind of hold each other accountable and pray for each other, and we get to know each other and keep up with each other that way, and I really appreciate that time. And then is when we sit around and frown at each other, and it gets really boring, because then's when we start talking about things like money and schedules and different things that the church is involved in. No, it's not all that boring. But that's when we have our meeting then after that. So some time ago, it was my job to have the devotion and talk about the chapter that we were reading. And I asked the question to the other guys. I said, because it was pertaining to the chapter that we were reading, I said, What is your identity? What do you see yourself as? And the one guy said, I'm not going to tell you who this was. See if you guys can figure this out. You can say something to him after church if you want to. He said, my identity is a t-shirt and jean shorts. Jorts and a t-shirt. So who do you think on our leadership team would identify as someone wearing jorts and a t-shirt? No, that wasn't me. But I won't tell you anything else. You can figure that out yourself. But then someone said, Brian, I think your identity is your beard. And I thought, you know what? I don't think I really like that. I don't think I want people to think of me as that bearded guy. I want people to think of me as someone who is the same thing as you guys. Your life is as valuable as the life of the kings. That's and I'm a child of God. And that's the way I want people to see me. So last night I took some drastic measures and I shaved my beard. You're right. I shaved my beard. I used to have a beard. But I thought, you know what? If one person identifies me as that guy with the beard, maybe other ones do too. And that's not the way I want to be identified. So, you guys have been good listeners. You can grab a snack from Emma over here on your way back. So, if you're a guest here and you don't really know me, trust me, I'm not some weirdo that thinks you should be hanging on every move that I make with my personal hygiene. It seemed vain to me to talk about that, but it really did strike me when they said, I think your identity is your beard. That's not what I want to be identified as. I would actually rather you mind your own business when it comes to my personal hygiene, actually. So we don't have to talk about that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with beards, too. Zane Gaiman, he's not here. I see a lot of bearded guys. Emerson, that's great. There's nothing wrong with having a beard. It's just I didn't want to be identified as that. And maybe it'll grow back. These whiskers keep growing, and it might grow back. And that doesn't mean that I stopped identifying as a child of God. But that's the way I wanted to be identified. So, well, that's the message. And I want to thank God for being here this morning and how Rick talked about Paul and what he talked about. And it really lined up, I thought, with the message here this morning. So I thank God for that. And let's pray, and then I think we have a closing song. God, I just thank you for creating us as individuals and giving us all things that we can do, that we can be confident in who we are. But help us to remember that these things are all second to being invited to be adopted into your family, to be a son or a daughter in your family. I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for what he did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
stand up to receive these parting words? You're all people whose very existence is worth the life of the King. Go in peace.